Good morning, everybody. Wow,
good morning.
This thing is really slow processing the audio. It's an hour of truth. I'm sitting here with Phil Walthall, and I have James Uetzler on Skype. Say hello.
Hey.
Good morning, good afternoon, everybody.
Oh, me. Well, yeah, welcome to another week. You know, we have had some interesting services, and there's always some churning, burning, yearning going on in the body, isn't there?
Seems to be that way sometimes.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, this is really an example of how good the Lord is. You know, he doesn't just throw 10 commandments at you and then let you flail and hang in the air and try to make things work the best you can. He calls us together. He sets people in authority over you. He gives you a body that you can be a partaker of his love and his grace and his mercy and his acceptance. And if you're willing to receive, it can be highly profitable for you and enable you to be able to become a minister of him to other people. So, it's funny to watch things work because, you know, something will come up and, you know, you deal with people and you deal with them and their families and the traumas and the stuff ends up having making you look more circumspectly at the way you are and you know how you treat the Lord, and it really works all together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
So, there is no downside, but it requires humility. It requires no presumptive all-rightness on our part. There's a presumption that the Lord's going to be good, and he's going to minister to our needs. And there's an expectation that that's going to happen. But we charged the group last week. How, Philip?
To examine our motive.
Right. And we had partakers, did we?
I didn't get any hands, so I don't know. When I asked the question, yeah, I didn't get any hands in the whole room.
Wow. I was wondering if I should have waved.
But, I mean, I didn't ask for hands either. So I don't know who partook of that.
Well, I figured anyone who did would want to tell it, but maybe not.
Angie did say, she came at me and she goes, well, I didn't examine my motive with everything. You know, well, look, you went about doing the challenge. I mean,
and the truth testifies against us, and how diligent we are to pursue the charges that we're given. You know, how receptive are people to do things which we want them to do for their profit, not so we can make a spectacle of them.
Right.
But
for their benefit, so that they may grow in the Lord.
You have just so much opportunities to minister that come out of a just out of one discipleship session, you know, a week ago, It's really stirred up a hornet's nest. And you end up with self-examination on everybody's part within the ministry. At least here.
Yeah.
And so that self-examination is part of seeking to transform and not conform. Thank you for that.
Way to go, Toyo! Turbo, and now, sorry, I'm gonna quit.
We talked a little bit today about how are we treating the Lord, and are we about pleasing Him? We read in Romans 12, and where else did I go? I went to... You went to Hebrews.
I went to Hebrews.
I went to Romans 12 and
1 John chapter 3, 1 and 22 and 23.
Somewhere else. I think it was Peter. Yeah, it was Peter, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. How different are we? When you remember God's establishing a priesthood, and you know He's populating an army, and you have, if you're a husband and wife team, you have a little church in your house, and you become responsible for everything that comes in the house. You're responsible for keeping out that which shouldn't be coming in the house. And, you know, the closer you are to that, the more transformed your family gets, the more different you're going to be and your family's going to be. And some will hate you for it. Some will trust you for it. But if God's charge to you is, and His calling to you is to be different, to come out of her, come out of the world, come out and be my people, then there needs to be a challenge thrown down to put yourself on a scale. It says in Romans 12, be not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So on one end of the scale is being conformed, and on the other end of the scale is being transformed. Where on that scale are we? And that's why you come to the light. That's why you, I hope that's why you're going to services. Why you're not just to be seen going, but to expect that it's going to be part of the transformation.
It goes back to that motives, Paul.
Yeah, it does. But you cannot be concerned about pleasing the Lord and be the same as everybody else out there, because everybody else out there is not concerned about pleasing the Lord. And you're going to look and act a lot different if that's really your concern. Right?
Yep.
Then I don't want to really take it this way, and this is not where I want to stay with it, but you know, some of us are horror movie fans, or you know, sci-fi fans, or that kind of thing. And you have to be careful about what you accept in and are in agreement with when it's when you got the young ones around. And you know, we talked a little bit about Halloween. Halloween, if you participate in Halloween and the celebration of all things occult, then how are you different than the rest of the world? There's nothing innocent about that which is designed to bring fear and terror. And in fact, it's the absolute opposite of what the Lord has for us. Terror and fear are not symptoms of a sound mind, are they?
No.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we as parents are responsible for the kind of food we're feeding the minds of those under us. What are we letting in the house? And that kind of thing. Self-examination is something that comes from discipleship. People who are serious about discipleship are confronted all the time with how they don't match up with the word of the Lord.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember, and some of the things, I mean, if you want to grow in the Lord, I mean, it's one of those things where there's things, I mean, let's face it, we don't want to bring some things to the light because our deeds are evil.
Yes.
Our deeds are evil, but I mean, if you are truly seeking that which is to be free from that, and your deeds to be reproved, and that they are wrought in God, you bring those things to the light. I mean, I remember I was sharing, I think I shared in service, I was sharing with somebody else this other time this week, and one of the things is, look, there's some things that I necessarily, I'm going, you know, Steve's my discipler, and I'm going, man, I don't want to share this with Steve, but I'm struggling with it, because I'm ashamed of it, and it's ridiculous, but you know, I'm struggling with it. It's one of those things, and I go to Steve and I get these things checked out, and he gives me clarity on the situation. He gives me clarity on what's going on. He gives me clarity and takes it on the big picture of certain things and on many different fronts, on many different ways.
Right.
But I mean, if we truly wanted,
see, it's a humbling process to have to go to people over you with stuff that's just shameful.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's one of those things that you can be freed from and grow forward in.
Right.
And, you know, what you have is a lot of times is that you have, you know, where, you know, I kind of went into the, where was I? Where, in 1 Peter 5, where he says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Right.
You know, I mean, how many times? I mean, one of the points that I brought up, and I kind of think of Romans 13 on a few fronts, but, you know, I mean, how many times do we, that which the person is over us at that time, and we just don't take heed to what they are giving us when we're confronted on a situation, or don't take heed to the challenge at hand. Right. Or don't take heed to the words that are being spoken to. And then things go awry, and then they go, why is this happening? And the Lord has shown you a way out. The Lord has shown you a deliverance, but He used ministers to do it. But you were too prideful to hear from that minister because you didn't think they were wrong. Right. Or they were off, or that they're an idiot, or whatever the case may be.
It applied to somebody else, but not to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the person they haven't accepted that person being over them. But it's not about the person.
No.
It's about the Lord's way.
Yeah,
and you can trust in the Lord that the Lord is going to give those that are above you to give you that right advice. But it's up to us, like I was saying. In
not
the
up to you to judge them whether it's right advice or not.
Right.
The challenge is to obey it even if you don't agree with it and see if the Lord moves.
Amen. And what you come across is sometimes people think they know more than them.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I first come into discipleship, I'd be confronted about all kinds of things. I thought, you don't know what you're talking about. Come to find out, they did know exactly what they were talking about, and it was the right advice for me. But you can do the hard road, which I had done for a long time, or you can go the easy road, which is simply humble yourself and listen to what that is being addressed to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And James comes to mind. And we spent a lot of time on James, haven't we?
Yes, we have. But look, praise God. It's, you know, as Paul says, it's not grievous for me and it's needful for you.
Right. Read.
From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God.
All right. I probably should have stopped you before that, but I was trying to type. And as we all know, it takes me entirely too long to type. So this sounds, I mean, we are by nature prideful, arrogant, contentious, fighting amongst us. This is written to believers. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of your lust that war in your members? You're prideful. You're seeking your own way. You're not loving as in a choice and act of the will, preferring others before yourself. You're resisting the Lord. You're resisting His efforts to transform you by renewing your mind. And
even of the lust that war in your members, you know, I look at this, it's all about me. You know, whence comes wars and fightings among you? In the sense of the era of it, all about me.
Yeah.
One above the other. Other above the one. Are we not members of one body?
Mm-hmm.
Are we not for the same goal? Are we not for the same team?
Right.
Are we not for the same purpose?
You know, and it seems like, since we got back from the conference, that the pressure has been multiplied. I mean, there's just a lot more FaceTime with people, a lot more actually having to deal with stuff that comes up. A lot of stuff's coming up. Our faith being tried, you know, and our whether we're desirous or not of coming to the light and receiving both instruction and correction. And it's not in our nature. We're having to put off the way we are and be transformed into the body, transformed into partakers of God's divine nature in Jesus Christ, in being part of His body.
Paul, it's right in line with when you were talking in the service this morning about sacrifice. And sacrifice is, you know, the death of our flesh. And we can't serve God serving ourselves. We can't love one another. if we don't die to ourselves first.
Amen. And you hit it. Die to yourself first.
You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you can consume it on your own lusts.
You haven't died to yourself there.
Right.
That you haven't died to yourself that, and not only that, this is to consume it upon your own lust. This is to want to lift yourself up. This is one to
for your gratification.
It doesn't further God at all.
That's right. Does it glorify the Lord?
Right.
Is this to please you, or is it to glorify the Lord? If it's upon for your own self and for your own pride and for your own lust, then why do you think it's not going to work? If he gave you that, it would go against you. You know, it's funny. I was talking with some of the girls last night, and one of the things was there was a point where this person went to somebody for prayer, said, you know, my son has this issue, and he goes, it's ADD, HD, HD, ADD, and the person turns and goes, I don't know. What are you talking about? No, it's all demonic, and no, I'm not going to pray for your son. And that person walked away saying, what? I mean, I came here to get delivered. This is a minister's conference, and here comes the judgment rolling in. But if that minister at that time, and what we talked about, if that minister at that time turned around and said, oh, absolutely, I'm going to pray for thy son, it would have justified her action in the action of being, God serves me. We serve the Lord. And it would have done them no good to do that. What come to find out is, I mean, you take a look at that woman. Remember the woman that said, where Jesus came and says, my spirit has an unclean spirit. And the woman turns around and says, Lord, the child had an unclean spirit, and he goes to the Lord and says, will you pray for my daughter? She's, she has an unclean spirit. And he goes, it's not meet for me to cast thy children's bread unto the dogs.
But even the dogs eat the...
Right. The point was, you're going to the ministry, you get that response. It's like, what is your response going to be? Is it going to be out of humility, or is it going to be out of pride and justification? But because of this woman's humility, but Lord, doesn't even the dogs eat off the crumbs of the table, and I'm messing that scripture up, but because of her humility and recognizing that he had the authority to do such that, and of her humility's sent because of thy saying, thy daughter is made whole. But, I wanted to use that example because the Lord's not going to give you something that if it's going to be for self-glorification, and then it's going to be something that hinders you in the wrong way.
Right. He's not going to do something that justifies you.
You, exactly.
He's not going to let you feed into self-righteousness.
Right.
It's only by His righteousness.
Amen.
Because if I use the word justification there, it is Jesus, and he did die for our justification.
Right.
He's not going to let you wallow in pride.
You're not justified by your own works. Right.
It's not
what you have done. Right. You're only justified by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Yeah. That's it.
He calls these people adulterers and adulteresses. Right? Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Come out of her. Come out of the world. Come be my people. You're going to be peculiar. You're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. You're not supposed to do the same things the rest of the world's doing. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. whosoever there will be a friend of the world is
the enemy of God. You know, and I want to take a look at this. I mean, look, let's take for an example. Let's take the workplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you go in the workplace and it's, man, he can't talk to me that way. Talking employers and bosses. He can't talk to me that way. I mean, well, shoot, you can actually find it in anywhere, really. I mean, he can't talk to me. Who do you think he is? Or I don't have to do that. I mean, you find that, I mean, just even in the workplace out in the world, there is some standard or some right for that person, which the Lord's way is to submit yourselves unto your boss.
Right.
As unto the Lord. That's the world's way. But man, you go about doing that out there in the world, you're going to be considered called a brown noser. You're going to be considered all kinds of evil things will be spoken of you because you're doing it the Lord's way. Look, you submit yourself.
Spoken of. That's right.
I mean, you take a look. I mean, you're in the church government. Your discipler suggests you some things, or people over you in the church, according to church government, suggests you to go do a thing, and you go do it as unto the Lord. People look at that and go, "What? He's brainwashed you? Or you listen? Are you in some kind of cult?" But it's exactly the way the Lord set it up. Let's go in Romans 13. Let's go. I mean, this is the way that Lord set it up. Let's go to John 17. I mean, is that not how the Lord had set it up? Absolutely. Absolutely.
The line of authority.
Right, the line of authority. But the Lord, but the world takes that out and they look at the Lord's way and they judge it as evil. Are we going to be like them?
I had an old dirty brain anyway. It needed to be washed.
Oh, mine needs to be washed like every day. I mean, you better. I'm going to stop right there. That was a phrase in the movie that was about to come out that would have not been good.
Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That's how we are. That's how we are. And that's the source of so much of the I want. I want this. I want that. I covet that. Somebody else has. We just, we don't. The truth testifies against us so mightily.
It does.
But good news. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Grace is there. All you got to do is choose to humble yourself. Not be presumptive. Not be arrogant. Not be pompous. Not be selfish. Not be self-righteous. Not be, all these things that we are by nature. It's choosing to subject yourself to the authority of God's ministers and believe his word, that he can carry out his word his way. And if you present yourself humbly, you can receive.
And it doesn't matter of who that is, what
Absolutely.
That person looks like, what the skill set of that person that is set in front of you, what the lack of skill set, doesn't matter.
Right.
What age doesn't matter.
That's right.
You can receive if you humble yourself. I mean, you take Steve. I like this example where Steve was told by David, that dog has more spiritual discernment than you do. And when somebody that would walk in the house, and he was a loving dog and all these things and got along with all kinds of people, but when somebody walked in the house that was carrying some nonsense with him, man, that dog would start going crazy, barking, yelping, and carrying on. And he goes, whoa. I better watch out for this guy. And because of Steve humbling himself, he received from the dog.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then he'd be going around talking, and the kid would turn and say something, and the Lord would present something that was food for him from that kid. because he humbled himself unto the Lord in his way. And
we don't even, many of us don't, and many times, don't even acknowledge the obvious thing here is that we need grace. You know, there's no real point in humbling myself because I don't really even perceive that I need the grace. I got news for you. I know me. I need grace. I need it.
Paul, I think everybody here online right now knows that we need it.
You're not alone.
I mean, we have all talked and had to have that reminded of Jesus' sacrifice that was done for us because we're going, what a worm am I.
Yeah.
We have no salvation without grace.
Amen.
We kind of moved into the next verse.
Yeah, we got ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Grace. I need to be humble. And see how the Lord opens up for you to receive. All you got to do is be receptive. And part of being receptive is being humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's what we were talking about.
Amen.
The Lord and his ministers, the ministers of light, the ministers of grace, the ministers of mercy. Resist the devil. And he might not bother you anymore today.
He will flee from you.
What?
He will flee from you. And can I go on a little bit? Because, you know, you go to 4:7. I just want to go to Romans 13, read that, then enter back in. But I know we don't have time for that. But, you know, you go to...
You can, but it's hard to just draw Romans 7 out of everything, Romans 13 and 7, out of the whole context of Romans 13, because it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
The powers and... Yeah.
But resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Right.
You know, I love that part. He will flee. I mean, you know what? If you're in God's body and you're in God's armor, you know, when Satan looks and you're humble yourself, that you have that grace covering you, I mean, when the enemy comes and looks at you, you know what? He doesn't look at puny, old, pitiful, scumbag, insecure little punk kid Philip. What he sees is Jesus. And let me tell you, when he sees Jesus, he's scared and he runs. That's why you submit yourselves therefore
unto God,
that you be under his covering.
We talked a little bit before about the difference between submission and subjection. Submission is under agreement on the same team and allegiance to the.
It brings me to John 1. I want to.
And subjection is being ruled over. That's really all that is. There's nothing that suggests a personal relationship, a personal agreement, a commitment to the terms of surrender that submission is.
You know, in the...
To the Lord and his way.
I mean, it's like an agreement, too, of having the same mind. We talked about that not too long ago in Philippians, having the same mind. And that mind is the mind of Christ. That mind of Christ is not divided.
Nope.
That mind of Christ is one will, one way, and that's the Father's will. That one way is Jesus. And that's the mind of Christ.
Yep.
Love God, love one another. I mean, submission is submitting and agreeing with the Word of God. Subjecting yourself, it could be as simple, I mean, you take your, you know, take the workplace again. I'm going to use that again. I mean, your boss might say, you know, go do such and such. Well, I don't agree that's right, but I'll go do it. Submitting is going, go do such and such. I know this is right, and I'm going to go do it. Because he said it.
A lot of times, or go ahead.
Talking about him when he's back turned.
Right, not talking about him when his back turns. But you do that as unto the Lord.
A lot of times with subjection, people do it to prove the person wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Your motives give away whether it's subjection or submission. I mean, your actions may follow that.
I mean, submitting is, you know, I look at, you know, talk about serve your bosses as unto the Lord. I look at that. You want the, you serve him as he was in Christ's stead. And you want to go to further that person. You want to push him up the chain to bring that, you know, what he has brought was right. In the sense of to helping him grow forward thereunto.
Right.
Pushing him up the ladder.
Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How many times have we seen it? We've seen people draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He meets you. And meet you where you're at. And just as screwed up as you are. And it offers you a way to unscrew yourself. Oh, me. That sounded funny. I'm sorry. To unscrew yourself from the screwed up position you're in. It's grace.
Amen.
And mercy. And you can't, until you have done that, you're never going to be able to cleanse your hands and have you, you know, have your works of the hand purified and about the business of pleasing the Lord. It's going to be about building yourself up or
the works of unrighteousness you're talking about. I mean, what you put your hands to? Do you put your hands to the? It says, "Cleanse your hands." Are you putting your hands to the work of?
It can be the same substance. It can be thought of as whatever, so whatsoever in word, or whatsoever you do as unto
to
the Lord.
But, yes, absolutely. There you go. Perfect.
Doesn't matter. I'm doing this because the Lord's good.
And this is what the Lord has me to do.
Yeah. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you do that?
Well, one, that's your motive.
What is the problem with your heart?
It's an evil heart of unbelief.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the natural state of it. You go to Jeremiah where
you don't get to ride the fence, man. You don't get to keep one foot in and just in case of the backup position, and one foot out.
I don't know if you guys heard the Vermont service, but Carrie brought up, you know, when you're around brothers in the fellowship or sisters, do you act differently than you do in the world? And that double-minded, it just, you know, made me think of that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And you purify your hearts. You know, that was one that, I mean, your motives.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. It goes right back to the motives, Paul.
Right back to the motive. And you know what? You know how you do that? When Paul has asked the question, how do you do that? You know where I turn with that is, one is you going to your discipler and checking your motives. Coming honest with the issues and the struggles and what's going on in your heart. That's one way of purifying your motive. The other way of purifying motives, go to Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart. renew a right spirit with me. Lord, I see my heart. I see my evil. I see these things, Lord, but I give these things to you. Lord, change it, because I don't have it in my own ability to do so. And then you choose to change your mind.
You submit.
Yeah, you choose to change your mind. That's a choice that you make.
It goes back to sacrificing the flesh. You know, when we do that, we won't be double-minded. Our heart will be purified.
Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, what is that doing in there? That's kind of a strange thing. That's, you know what that means? This means this is serious business. If you're going to have anything from the Lord, this is how it's going to have to happen. This is life and death. Spirit, especially following that purify your hearts, you double-minded.
I mean, you know, I look at that, be afflicted and mourn and weep after purifying your hearts, you double-minded, like I was saying, you know, and coming to the Lord, is that you just see how off the mark you are.
Yeah.
You see how far you fail
from
meeting Jesus' example.
You're not going to feel good about yourself.
No, you're not. I mean, you take you stop deceiving yourself and you take an honest, good look at that, of where you're at. You ask the Lord to search your heart. I mean, you're going to see all the failings, all the struggles, all the evil motive, all the things that just is contrary to God. That evil heart of unbelief. I mean, you know, it's a humbling it's humbling yourself.
Hey,
getting that renewed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it also, you know, the fear of the Lord coming upon you that, you know what I mean? You notice how undeserving and, you know, it, like you're just so messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to talk about.
I know I didn't say that good.
No, but yes.
When you start being obedient to verse 8, that's going to scare the crap out of you. Right?
Amen. What was it, that thing? But, you know, I remember it was in a conference a long time ago, Paul, and you said, you can wake up one day and it be the best day of your life. Everything's going smooth. Everything is going perfect. Everything is going well. And you can be as far away from God
as you can be. Those who are judging carnally, you can, oh yeah, man, you definitely got one right. You're right there with the Lord. You got to be, because look how things are going for you. It'd be totally out of the will of the Lord. Absolutely diametrically wrong. Now, if he loves you, he's not going to stay there.
Amen.
He will not allow that to happen.
And what you have is, I mean, what is when light shines? I mean, you know, the light of the Lord shines upon your heart. That's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you, you can be feel like absolute crap and absolute all these things. And it just be that the light is shining those dark areas, exposing those things that are just not of Him. And you can be closer than God than you did when you felt on top of the world that one day.
Yeah.
But that light exposes things. In the darkness, it's all hidden. But a light exposes.
Right.
You can see clearly. You can see what's going on.
All right, so humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. If you've gone through this process, you don't want any lifting up unless it's His.
Amen.
There's no approval you seek that matters except for His.
Amen.
And the lifting up, you know, can be looked at as raised from the dead. Just a Jesus was.
I mean,
which was, you know, the ultimate stamp of approval that his sacrifice was accepted. So,
I mean, the other thing, you got to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's something that He does.
Yeah.
That's something that He does. But it first comes to humbling ourselves. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going through, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. You know, I'm looking at situations and all these things, and with my own understanding, all I see is failure. All I see is failure. Take work, for example. All I see is failure. All I see is the lack of where we need to be. All I see is just absolute mess beyond I can handle, and I'm doing one of the most terrible jobs in the world. But what the Lord was doing on the other side of that was showing those above me and showing people around me that that was not the case at all. They were perceiving something 180 degree different than all that. I mean, and that was because of what He was doing.
That's like Scott and Gail seeing what was going on in that house with 13 people in there. They were seeing the love of the Lord.
Right.
And the people who were in there were going, ugh.
Yeah. Trying not to kill each other, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, that's what the Lord shows them, is He shows them you through a cloud.
Yeah. Most of the time we stop there, but I want to look at the next few verses as well. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth the brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
You can apply that to your disciples. You know what I mean? Your discipler.
Yeah. Well, and in speaking evil of one another, that's like imputing evil intent when there is none. That right. Just proves you can't know the heart of...
It's not that love for one another.
Right. That's specifically one of the citations in 1 Corinthians 13. Is... that evil motive thing. If you don't know their motive, then you're just doing it because your heart's evil. And you just assume everybody's like you.
Right. And you know how many times we do that? I mean, we don't just do one to another, but we do that with God.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
God has just brought us out here to die.
Yep.
Man, I'm going through this thing. Man, just God just must hate me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's get honest, folks. I think we've all done that. At least I can speak for myself. I know I have. And maybe I'm just putting stuff on other people.
Say it ain't so. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Yeah, you're not the gatekeeper. You're not the one that lets people into heaven and can cast them out. Not the way it works. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, this is retrospective thing, introspective stuff. As presumptuous as all get out.
It is.
If the Lord willeth, for that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Your presumptiveness about being all right is deceptive, and spend some time in the light, you find out, coming to the light, you'll find out you're not as all right as you thought you were.
And when we hit this before, because we have hit it before, you know, when you go back to 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanish away. I should actually go up one. Go now, ye that say, today, tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They're all about their own business. They're all about their own agenda. When you come down to 15, for ye ought to say, the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That is one, what the Lord would have me do.
Yeah.
We will go do this or we'll go do that. But according to His will.
So if we're looking for what pleases Him.
Amen.
And try to repeat that as often as we can.
I mean, and how many, I mean, you know, you can take another look at this and saying that, that we shall go in such a city, continue their year, and buy, sell, and get gain, as to their own agenda is the one that is great. Their own agenda is the one that is going to be profitable. Their own agenda, but it's not. It's God's agenda that is going to be the right one that's going to bring forth profit.
Testifying of the Lord in that verse.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Gail. I apologize for being sorry.
Gail, that is awesome. People here treat me like I'm a sweet but retarded person. I understand being treated like a retarded person. But, you know, at the same time, I give them plenty of reason for them to think that I am such.
Experience is a wonderful teacher. Isn't it? Oh,
that's me. For me, let me tell you.
But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil, because if you believed God, you'd be scared of God. You'd have the fear of the Lord would prevent this kind of boasting. You could not be that presumptive. Listen, I have expectation, and I know the Lord's going to be good, but he can't allow this kind of pride and arrogance. That's what this is. This is, again, back to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. This is evil. This is the opposite of that.
What he's addressing is the pride and arrogance of them lifting themselves up to be something when they are nothing. It's all the Lord is what has done, and what all the Lord has accomplished, and all the Lord in His hand in it all. Just like when the children of Israel was delivered by the most powerful nation in the world, that was all the Lord's power. They had nothing to boast of on it. Nothing.
But, you know, now you rejoice in your boastings. The boasting's bad.
You
rejoice in it.
I remember actually doing a service on this.
Yeah.
But not only do we take heed in the flesh, but we yet boast in it like it's some great thing when it's not.
No.
It's absolutely contrary to God.
At enmity with God.
That's right.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin. There's no middle ground here. If you know to do good, you know how to do good, and you doeth it not, it's sin. Sin of omission. Even if you didn't actually do something wrong, you knew something good to do and you didn't do it.
Absolutely.
So,
and then how many times of us in our own ways go off and justifying that why we didn't? We deceive our own selves more than anybody else.
Absolutely. It is so counter to, again, our example would be Jesus. Jesus boasted in anything?
Not at all.
If anybody had anything to be
boasting in. It was Jesus. Boasting in.
Perfect. Unless any of you perfect, y'all ain't got nothing to boast about.
That's right.
You're nothing to be happy about in doing so.
You know, we're coming up and we've wrapped this chapter, but you know, you going up to, if you go up to this, I want to bring a point out. I think 11, where it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren.
Yeah.
He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. And that, where you hit the point on, that judging is the judging of the motive of the person. Right. Without you knowing. It's one thing, it's another thing that you see something that's hindering somebody in their walk and addressing at that. That's love. Jesus did that. Mm-hmm. Jesus did that with the rich man. Was it one of the best examples I can think of? Our authorities do that. But they do it for our good. The Lord does it to chasten us, to for us to benefit. So I don't want people to be confused on this.
Right.
I mean,
we make judgments every day.
Right.
But the accusation is leveled, especially against somebody who's been pointing out an error in you, that they're wrong. They just hate me and they wanted to get me out of here fast. Or, you know, and all those imply a motive or a desire on his part, the disciple's part, that is absolutely not the case. If they know the truth and don't speak it to you, they're accountable before God.
Absolutely.
And that was the point, really, down in 4:17. That holds them to account. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. It's sin. There's no middle ground. You're held accountable here. This is the standard. Absolute accountability. It matters.
I just want, before we wrapped it up, I wanted to bring that last point.
We got about 30 seconds.
All right, look, God bless everybody.
God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us this week. And we'll see how it works out through the rest of the month. I don't know whether everybody's going to be home or not. We'll see what the schedule ends up being. And we'll see you next week. Until then, may God bless each and every one of you.
May the Lord bless you all.